morning, bonjour. Unukut, right?
Unukut.
Unukut, okay. I will get it before I leave, I promise. So at least I had the opportunity to meet with you or greet you at least. My name is Geneviève Bonnet. I'm an associate professor at the University of Ottawa, and I'm the fund holder, if you like, for the project, this entire project. So I'm really happy and grateful that you are all here. And I'll get back to you with a formal address in a moment. Before we do that, though, we have a special guest with us. Jack Anowak has accepted graciously to do the opening ceremony today. Jack has had quite the career, being born in Nuyat, or Repulse Bay, which he tells me was the hunting-gathering society at the time, and then moved to Rankin Inlet in 1981, been a member of Parliament, interim commissioner for Nunavut, then member of the legislative, once Nunavut was formed officially, then ambassador to the Arctic Circumpolar Affairs in 2005, chair of various committees, including restorative justice and the legal aid at the moment as well, Jack? Are you still doing that? Yes. And the district education authority. So thank you for coming, and I'll leave the space here to you for now.
And let me, first of all, when we were talking about... what's written on there. I would just like to tell you a little bit about how recent communications are in terms of, for lack of a better word, technical communications are up in Nunavut. When I was growing up, the only mode of communication, the only communications we had was usually at the Roman Catholic Church with their HF radio to... Hello? Hello?
We can hear you.
They had an HF radio that kept in touch with all the other communities. And the only other one was the Hudson Bay. Now, the Hudson Bay we didn't use as much, but because we didn't have any local radios at Hudson, or in the communities at the time, because the only buildings were the Hudson Bay the Hudson Bay store and the Roman Catholic Church, there was no other houses. If there was going to be a plane that day, and planes were rare, maybe once every 2 or 3 months, the Hudson Bay manager would put the Union Jack up on the flagpole. So if we saw the flag hanging up, it meant that there was going to be a plane that day. And so that's how... This was in the 50s. I grew up listening to the Greenlandic radio. That's how we got a lot of our news, because we had shortwaves. We also listened to Mary Panigusuk, Elijah Manarayak, and others from Montreal. And it was not until the late 70s, I think, that we had TBC. And because we didn't have CBC, when we listened to shortwave, one of the things I remember quite clearly is we learned about Joe Clark's government falling from the BBC radio. Because we were, and my wife and I were listening, and then all of a sudden Joe Clark's government had fallen, and was listening to shortwave radio on CBC, BBC. But I think, thank you for the opportunity to address you today. As someone who was born and grew up in Nauyat, in Nunavut, I'm acutely aware of the importance we place on our radio in our community. I'm also aware of the local radio communications the stations play, and they play a unique role in many of these same communities. In Nunavut, Northwest Territories, and Nunatsiavut, there is a long history of local people operating community radio stations. There is a long-term funding in place, and they are thriving. In Nunavut, there is less support for them by funders here who lack the understanding of how vital a role community radio stations allow people to tell their stories, to mirror the concerns of the population, to focus on the key topics that they are interested in and to increase understanding through information sharing on any given subject. Small communities especially sometimes feel a bit isolated. Not everyone knows what's going on, who is coming to the community, who won the tournament, what support is needed, and, or what news from other places further away may be. In addition, they may welcome information from both outside the community and learn more from others right in their own community. Elders speak of passing on the information verbally. Radio allows for storytelling with the emphasis on length that teach appropriate behaviors, that talk of overcoming great struggles and articulate Inuit values and beliefs that are just as applicable today. Sharing information, particularly to our youth, is another way for young people to develop Inuit pride in being able to survive in the toughest environment in the world. Elders have shared their disappointment at being marginalized when non-Inuit authorities arrived who professed to be the experts. Elders whose traditional role it has been to act as teachers, counselors, disciplinarians, and motivators, modeling social norms, who taught through stories and tales of folly when someone did not follow the correct way, lost their role to the newcomers. The chain of teaching was how to be and act and think like an Inuit was broken. And this has created very challenging circumstances in our time. Community radios can play many of these roles. It can be part of everyday lives as it seeks to broaden the listener's world, to mirror the community to itself, to mirror the community to itself, to challenge, remind, and to communicate to the broadest number of people. This type of radio accomplishes many things. It supports an internal trade where people go on to others to let them know that they have objects for sale. It supports a sharing economy when a hunter tells the community that he or she just caught a Inalugok, blue whale or walrus, and for people to come over and take some. It supports a village raising a child as a parent. Use the radio to communicate to their child that it is time to come home. It helps spread news about upcoming events and lets people express how they feel. It shines a light on contentious issues and provides time for people to develop their opinion on specific matters. It encourages participation on the part of the community to speak up and speak out about what concerns community members have. It provides new information on subjects and increases people's understanding. It tackles subjects concerning the past and informs people of what took place before they were present. It enshrines traditional knowledge, showcases its usefulness, and increases understanding of how to apply time-honored attitudes, behaviors, and techniques to current and future situations that may arise. It provides the best of Inuktitut terminology as elders talk that can help our youth improve their level of our language. It can promote discussions regarding new topics and invite community members to share in their thoughts. It can also serve as a forum for all ages to have their own specific time for utilizing the radio and playing their own music, setting out their own thoughts, and communicating with their own group. Community radio provides the time to talk and think more deeply about items, for the community to search among its own, for the answers on how to proceed, and what else must be learned and how the decision can be made. It is much too valuable to be so poorly funded within our territory. Equipment is very expensive. The location in the community is also difficult to find and maintain. Training is involved, and there are rules and limits on what and how things can be said that these training addresses that might be taught. Excuse my phone here. It has been we've come a long way, so I carry my information in my pocket. It has been underused by government too, who often fail to understand the use of community announcements, health and wellness programs, and other topics that could be covered well in this type of venue. Surprisingly, little effort has been made to this method of communications to reach the people. It also functions as a contact point in pressing circumstances, such as when hunters are lost out on the land, when someone has not returned to the community, when there is a need to amass volunteers to take action. I might use a little example here. When I was in Naujaat a couple of years ago, I happened to, the local radio is on only certain times of the day, but the radio station is always on, like it's on but not communicating. And one day I was just in the house with my sister and somebody just went on the radio and said, all she said was, "Nakitiyokangman." That's all she said, and then started the music. And what "Nakitiyokangman" means is somebody pushed. And what the people in Naujaat immediately understood what that meant. It meant that somebody had pushed the help button on a spot. And then she went on the radio until the people could go out and get the people that had pushed the spot for help. So that's how useful community radios are. Many households do not have a phone, so the radio is a link to others. People often accuse their government of not consulting them or having a fly-in short meetings, then leaving again. So much more could be done with speakers addressing the topic ahead of the community on consultation meetings to ensure full participation on the part of those who are interested. Community radio is a way for some to get their message to their loved ones when they are out in hospital or out waiting to have a baby or traveling elsewhere. In short, I want to see a strong network of local community radio stations with all the equipment they need, the training for the staff, and the basic expenses for their operations covered. There is one very innovative way the government can show it cares and understand this very important need. Community radio's ability to inform, organize, and communicate to all should be far more recognized than it is in Nunavut. There is an express need to commit long-term funding to this mode of communication. There is a need to commit training dollars as well as community people can be trained in this operation. At the moment, there is no actual training for announcers, and it's only the current one trying to explain things to the new one taking place. In short, I'm asking that we recognize community radio more fully in Nunavut and get behind it all the way. Governments at all levels should ensure that practical and easy ways to access the funding be set in place that runs over several years at a time. A lot of community radios have to fundraise to even operate. No small radio operations can expect to have continuously be in search of funding. Other people outside the community, as I had mentioned earlier, should build partnerships with the local radio stations to ensure them a ready supply of information, provide information campaigns, speakers when they come through the community, and information handouts are topics that local announcers can understand and discuss with their listeners. I'm calling for a full support initiative for these local radio stations and recognizing the important role in community developments that they play. I want to see dedicated funding and departmental support initiatives in place that recognize the importance and work closely to ensure that stations are not out there struggling all along, trying to survive. And I just may add that there is a need to ensure that more programs, funding be available to our territorial CBC, because that's a mode of information that a lot of people listen to. There has been some cutbacks in the past, whether it's through the radio or television, and those are very important parts of our society up here. A lot of, my son was just talking the other day that in the morning there is not enough Inuktitut programming. There is from, I think it's 6 to 10. But sometimes some of that language is in English, and a lot of elders are listening to the radio at the time. So there is a need for us to understand how important CBC is to Nunavut and to the elders, the unilingual Inuit. So with that, Kuyanamik, thank you very much.